Let's see Bibles this morning. Word. One more time. Let's see this. Wake up. Everyone ready to go? Everyone good? Word. Let's see your pens. Hands. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Welcome to all the visitors. Thanks for coming this morning. Hope you have a good time. Matthew 6. And we will explain to you why we have army gear on if you are a visitor. Next week we will officially conclude the series, but we have a little surprise for you and gift for you next week. I am going to show you something. I'm going to hold something up. And I want you to write down at the top of your lesson plan in the left-hand corner what I show you represents to you. I'm going to show you something. I want you to think about it, talk to your neighbor about it for about 15 seconds, and then I want you to write down in your notes what it is, what I show you represents. You with me? This two. Okay, this is a real, it's real, it's not a fake, it's not a trick. Everybody see that? Okay, write down at the top left hand of your lesson plan what this represents to you. This is not a trick. Do not try this at home. Real. It's not a trick.
Okay.
And it's mine. Actually, it's not mine. I borrowed it for this object lesson. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts that we may see and understand what these things really are, and then to see them as you see them. And I pray you expand our vision and our perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. It's very possible that some of y'all wrote down, and by the way, anytime during this message you want to change your answer, you want to write that down in the right-hand corner of your lesson plan. But wait till the end of the message, because you may change it 2 or 3 times if you act too quick. Many of you probably wrote down something that you represents what you think you can get with that $20. You might have wrote down lunch, In-N-Out, Frappuccino, Macarena, and Muffin. You know, a little mascara. Can you get mascara for $20? Can you get a little mascara for $20? But you might have wrote down, and if you're an investor, a business person, you might have wrote down $30. Anybody? I mean, you know what I'm saying? What that means is someone looks at $20, oh, I can make that into $30. And you may not have that perspective, because to you, it's just something to spend. To an investor, I promise you, Warren Buffett, who's one of the wealthiest men in the world, would see that as more than $20. He wouldn't see it as 20, he would see it as 30 or 40, and over time, 50, 60. So it depends on your perspective. It is critical to understand that since God has promised to take care of all your earthly needs, that you shouldn't worry about them. That you should see them as means to an end of what God would want to use them for. And so what we want to do today is bring clarity to what that $20 and money and things, clothes, houses, cars, jewelry, bling bling, what all that represents and what it does not represent. Because you may have a perspective that is very wrong, thus you are always disappointed. Let's read chapter 6. Chapter 6. Actually, look in your notes. Let's look in your notes real quick. We're just going to read in your notes. I apologize. It says, an army is a group of people trained and armed for war. The Rock Salvation Army is a group of people trained and armed to fight for the souls of unbelievers. Proper resource allocation is critical for victory in war. If we as a church and you as individuals are going to succeed in accomplishing what God has called you to accomplish, You're going to have to, one, have an accountability partner. We looked in your notes. Remember, we have four words. You're going to have an accountability partner. That's part of being a part of the Army, part of being a part of the Rock. You need to have an accountability partner. Two, you need to reach out to lost people. That's why we got that video from Fox News, so you can use that to talk to people about evolution in God as a tool to have a Marty. That's why we give you these rave cards, invite people to church. Number three is M, ministry and service. Last week we talked about getting involved in ministry. It is critical that you serve somehow and use the gifts God has given you. It is critical because it is going to, is part of completing the cycle of being a whole Christian, a functional Christian. It's not about what you get, it's about what you give. It's about being a conduit. And number four, the why. You have to say it and write it like we say it and write it. It's yo money. Not your money or your money or, yeah, no. Yo money. Now, what's important for you to understand about yo money, the Rock Church is not entitled to all of yo money. What we're trying to tell you is, yeah, tithes and offerings, you give that to the church. But yo money is bigger than that. A tithe is only 10%. You got 90% left. That is also part of your money. Your clothes, your jewelry, your car, it's all part of your treasure. And the point is that God has a plan and a way for you to utilize all of your money in a way that honors and glorifies Him. Not necessarily for the Rock, but for God and His kingdom. That's what your money is about. The reason we want to tell you this is that it's not just so the Rock can benefit, you benefit. When we tell you to pray and fast, it's not only so the church can benefit, it's for your relationship with God. You belong to God. You don't belong to the church. You belong to God. The church belongs to God. It's all about God. So your money, it's not like I give God an hour and a half on Sunday and the rest is mine. I give God $5 on Sunday and the rest is mine. It's all God's. This just happens to be where you're at this point in time in your life, but He may move you to another church. The principle doesn't change, okay? So your money is about everything you have. It's about God managing, guiding, and blessing everything you have. Just think for a minute. Just think in your mind, answer yes or no to this question. You can just, you don't have to answer it out loud, but do you want God to bless everything you have? Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. You go to the bank and get 2-3%. God says, well, I could hook you up with better than that. Not only will I give you a higher percentage, I'm going to give you peace to go with it. Well, you don't worry about it. Let's read. Three words. Three words we're going to look at. Intent. Everyone say intent. Perspective. Say perspective. And then say treasure. Say treasure. Matthew 6:19. Let's read. We're going to read 25 verses here, so 15 verses. It says, do not lay up your treasures, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. The lamp is the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye or your perspective is negative and bad, your whole body will be full of darkness and discouragement and negativity. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If the best you have is bad, how bad off are you? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. I'm going to say worry. Do not worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you by worrying, everyone say worrying, can add one cubit to his stature or any height to his body? So why do you worry? Say worry. About clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry. Everyone say worry. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after these things, the Gentiles or the unbelievers seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry. Everyone say worry.
Worry.
Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry. Say worry.
Worry.
About its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Look in your notes. Number one is intent. Intent is a predetermined purpose, having your heart and will fixed on a specific goal. When you saw that money, some of you came up with an answer to what it represented based on your intent, as if it was yours. If that was my money, I would do this with it. So that's what it represents to me. Look at verse 24. It says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Your intent has to either be to serve God or serve money or wealth or yourself. All the same thing. Now, some of you think, well, if I serve God, I'm not going to be able to enjoy life as if I was serving money or myself. I'm not going to be able to have nice things and enjoy them. Please don't believe that. See, when you serve God, you have different kind of fun. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, but do not answer this question. Do not respond to this question. Please don't respond to this question. How many of you have ever had fun where you had to look over your shoulder? Or you woke up one morning and you didn't know who that was laying next to you in the bed? Don't answer that question. When you have fun in the world, you always got to be looking over your shoulder, because sometimes it has a certain level of scandalousness. When you have fun with God, you don't have to worry about that. When you have fun with God, you can have fun with God without even having fun. That means you can just sit there. My wife and I, whenever we see elderly people, you know, like 47, people 1 year older than us. No, we see elderly people walking down the street, we always go, there we go. That's us. And so every now and then we'll act old and we'll sit down and put a blanket over our legs and drink tea. That's fun. How are the kids doing? I have no idea and I don't care. That's fun. Well, you can let it go. Let it go. Intent. Do you intend to please God or do you intend to please yourself? Think about that 20. If you intend to please God, does it represent something different to you? Number two, perspective. Perspective is the manner in which you view something. The manner in which you view something. We all have a different life experience based on our ethnicity, based on the economic level we grew up in, our neighborhood we grew up in, who we knew, based on male, female, based on how we were treated by our parents. Every single one of us has a unique perspective on life, based on the information in your experience. It does not mean your perspective is true. Correct, I should say. God has a whole nother perspective. If you intend to serve yourself, your perspective will be accordingly. How can I get mine from that? How can I please me from that money? But if your intent is to please and honor God and to serve God, now all of a sudden the questions are different. How can I please God with that? How can I honor God with that? How can I build God's kingdom with that? Now, that doesn't mean you won't spend it on yourself. It doesn't mean you can't have nice things. But having nice things and hoarding nice things to yourself is not what life is all about. That's what this guy's trying to tell you. That's what we're trying to tell you. It's not about that, because that ends up being an endless cycle of disappointment, because those things never please you. So intent will drive perspective. Look at verse 22. It says in verse 22, it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. If therefore your eye is, wow, look at God, look at the opportunity God gave me. Look at the blessings God gave me. Instead of, man, my life is messed up. Amen. That's a bad eye. Man, that person just never could treat me right. That's a bad eye. Man, I just don't have enough. That's a bad eye. If you have a bad eye and everything you see is negative, everything you see is selfish, you're never going to be happy. Oh, it's so cloudy out. Oh, my gosh. It's going to rain and we're going to have floods and the mudslides are going to happen and people are going to, oh, my gosh. Then the sun comes out. Oh, my gosh. Someone's going to get cancer from the sun. Oh, my gosh. If your eye is bad, everything is bad. Everyone, you are a victim always. But if your eye is good, everything is good. Look what it says. Verse 23. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. You'll be depressed. It says, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You want your perspective to be full of light. You want your perspective to be biblical. How? Determine that your intent is to please God. So when someone cuts you off in the parking lot, instead of your perspective is, how could that Christian do that to me? I'm never coming back to this church. They're full of hypocrites. Because the one person cuts you off. Now, little did you know, they didn't see you. They're not a Christian. They got an emergency. They really don't care about you because they don't know God. And little did you know that you as a Christian need to have the attitude of go right ahead. You forgot about all that. You know, my first child was born. It was on a Sunday, and we were playing the Raiders, and it was the only game I ever played with the Chargers that went into overtime. And my wife went into labor at 12:30 in the afternoon. I'm sorry, she went into labor 12:30 at night, so she was in labor all day. And the game went into overtime. I ran off the field, took a shower, and was leaving by time guys were walking off the field. That quick. I got, now you have to imagine, Qualcomm Stadium, the game is letting out. I get in my car, and I'm driving through the parking like this. I don't know how I made it. I got out the parking lot, people were cursing at me, I was cutting people off, and was I wrong? Yeah, but I wanted to see my child born. At the time, I really didn't care about anybody else. Wrong or right, when people saw that in their mind, they're thinking, that fool, he is crazy, who is he? And it's like, I'm not crazy. I have a legitimate reason to almost hit you. Now, I'm not even trying to justify it, but my point is this. We always don't know what people are going through. But when we assume and our eye sees something and our perspective assumes that we know and that we can judge, we're full of negative. He says, if your eye is good, you say, doesn't matter they cut me off because, you know, really, I really have nowhere to go anyway. It's not that big a deal. If your eye is good, your perspective. So your intent is, I want to please God. And then if your intent is to please God, then your perspective is, God, give me an opportunity. And everything you experience is an opportunity. And number three is your treasure. Your treasure is stored up and accumulated wealth, riches, and value things. Stored up wealth. Look at verse 19. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now let's look at our, we have 3 points we want to make, 3 things we want to do. One, we want to have a kingdom of God intent. Kingdom of God intent says, please God and build up eternal treasures. The decision you have to make is, I want to build up eternal treasure. Now, when you die, Everything you own will be given to somebody else. Matter of fact, my wife and I were doing our will and trust the other day, and we had to decide whether we were going to give our body parts to somebody else. And I take it all. Take it all. Give my eyes, any organs they want. There's a lady in the church, she takes out eyes of corpses, and she's the eye bank, so she goes to corpses, takes them out. And so I was at the airport one day, and my dad and I were sitting at the airport, and I had not met her at the time. She comes up to me with this little styrofoam cooler. I had no idea what she had. So she says, how you doing? I'm from the Rock, blah, 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 blah. I said, what do you do? And she says, I work at the eye bank. I said, what does that mean? She said, well, I take eyes out of it, and we transplant them. I'm taking eyes. And she happened to have a handful of candy wrapped, but I didn't know what was in the cooler, and I didn't know what was in the hand. So as she's explaining this to me, I'm thinking, you take eyes out of people? And she opened the hand and says, you want an eye? And she handed me this candy. I was like, you got a freaky girl. You need to get up on out of here. You don't got to go home, but you got to get up on out of here. Wouldn't you love to give someone sight with your eye after you die? Now you may say, no, I want to take my eye in the grave. I don't want to say that's selfish, but I want to ask you why. Think about it. You're like this when you're in your coffin. Ain't no one seeing your eyes. It doesn't matter if there's golf balls in there, whatever they put, but you're dead. Can you imagine someone coming up to you and saying, my son can see because your dad donated his eye? My daughter has, I don't know whether the organs, the heart works or whatever it is, because when your dad died, they signed over something. Imagine that. Number one, it says, kingdom of God intent, to please God and build up earthly, eternal treasures. Am I saying giving your eyes eternal treasures? No, what I'm saying is this, that what you do by faith in the name of the Lord, somehow God blesses you with in heaven. With your money, with your things, with your time. Look what it says. Don't store up things that do not last forever. Don't waste your time. Doesn't mean you don't have a savings account. Doesn't mean you don't have a 401k. It doesn't mean you don't have retirement. What it means is that you don't waste your time holding on to something that one day you're going to have to let go of anyway. Just open your hand. Look what next it says. Don't worry about things that God promises to manage. Don't worry about stuff God promises to give you. Again, worry is the key word. You have a retirement, great. But you know what? People lose retirements. You're probably not going to stop working anyway. But look what it says in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, what about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or plant or reap or harvest, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more than they? Have you ever seen a bird in a tree doing this? Worrying. Can you do that? Can you do that? You ever see a hawk on a pole like this? They're not like this. Where am I going to get a rabbit? I'm going to get a mouse. It's been 2 days, I hate a mouse. They're like this in the sky. You know what God says? I love you so much more than them. I love you so much more than them. And you're worrying about it. And you know the thing about it? You're worrying about it. And you already got stuff in your refrigerator. You already have something. Or you know 50 people that will feed you if you go hungry. And you have enough extra. And I'm not trying to talk about people who are overweight. All of us. You know, we have the most overweight country in the planet Earth. I saw this movie recently called Super Size Me. Ooh, if you haven't seen that movie, this dude ate McDonald's 30 days in a row, every day, all day. The doctor told him after 2-3 weeks, you are going to die. Literally, look at your vital signs. You're going to die. And he talked about how obese this country is. And by the way, obese is not someone who's hundreds of pounds. I was in a physical yesterday, and the doctor was telling me about a woman who was 111 pounds. She was obese. You know why? It was a percentage of fat to muscle. I should say a long story, but I don't want to get into why that is. But it's not just big people. It's a percentage of fat to muscle. You have extra. Yet we worry. I was walking this morning and jogging in the park, and I heard all these birds, and I was trying to discern how many different bird sounds I could hear. It went, tree, 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 wah, 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 woo, woo. And I was trying to count them. We went to Africa. We heard some stuff that scary stuff. And the green tent. Those birds they're not worrying. They're singing. And they have no food in their nest. You know what God says? I love you so much more. And not only that, you're so much more intelligent than them. Their diet is so limited. I've given you a bigger diet. I've given you grocery stores. I've given you opportunities. I've given you friends. I've given you internet. And you still worry. Don't worry. Number two, kingdom of God perspective. Look for kingdom value in everything. In other words, how can I honor God with what I have? You think about the $20 bills. You could say, I want to use that $20 bill to go to lunch. Or, I want to use that $20 bill to take someone to lunch that needs to be saved. I want to use that $20 bill to buy myself a gift. Or, I want to use that $20 bill to buy someone a gift who hasn't had a gift because they're homeless. I want to buy myself a sweater because I think I'll look nice in it. No, I'm going to buy someone a sweater because they got to live outside. I'm going to use that $20 bill to have a meeting with someone with whom we're going to plan a ministry. You know, there's a ministry here. We have a fitness ministry, fitness and nutrition ministry. I am so fired up for this ministry. Why? Because all y'all who want to get healthy, we got a whole gang of nutritionists and trainers who say, we're going to help you get healthy. So when they get together, they can say, oh, well, of course, they're going to eat good. But imagine them getting together and saying, let's go out to lunch and figure, instead of spending money just to eat and feed our face, let's have a meeting and strategize how we're going to bless the community of God. So when you look at that 20, you think, is that for me or God? How do you want me to use it? This little card, this card right here is not a piece of paper. It's an opportunity. It's a conversation. It's like, hey, you want to go? What is that? Well, let me talk to you about what all this means. The cross, Jesus, the catenas, OAT. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? You know, there's people who think he didn't rise. There's people who think he really didn't die. People think he went into a coma. He never really died. People think they stole his body. We're going to talk all about that. You know about it. Why don't you come? This card can represent someone being saved. That's how you got to see it. If your intent is to please God, then everything you see will be looked differently. There was a grocery store. They had a motivational speaker come. And he challenged all the people, all the employees, to make a difference, to be creative. He said, all y'all can be creative. You can make a difference in this store, in this community. So this one kid went home and told his mother, Mom, someone came and told us we can make a difference, and I believe I can make a difference, and I want to come with an idea. Now, you have to understand, this kid was a teenager, and he was a bagger. All he did was bag groceries, and he had Down syndrome. So he told his mom and dad, I want to make a difference. He said, everyone can make a difference. His parents were like, you know, I don't know what you can do. You know, you're only a kid. You don't have a lot of education. I don't know what you can do. He said, no, I believe I can make a difference. What he did, he took these little pieces of paper, and every day he wrote down a saying of encouragement to people. to bless them. Just an encouraging, motivational saying. And he wrote them down, all these pieces of paper. And every day when you came to his line, he would put this little piece of paper in your bag and shake your hand and say, have a nice day. Simple. Paper. That you think, oh, just throw it out. Pen. No big deal. And he used that pen and that paper, and he wrote these sayings down. And every day he had a different saying. Well, what happened was, nobody would go to any other line. Everybody was in Johnny's line. And he would stand there and put it in and say, have a nice day. And everyone would come down. He put his note in the bag. And this lady says, I used to come twice a week. Now I come every single day. And I stand only in this line. And the manager said, you guys got to go to different. No. We want to talk to Johnny. This is a true story. The lady who worked in the florist got an idea. When the flower would break, the stem, they couldn't sell it, she'd make a carnation and give it to the customers. The guy in the meat department started putting Snoopy Snickers in all the packages of meat and chicken. All of a sudden, all these people started to see their job, their resources, different at how to bless people. Imagine if you said, Lord, give me an idea so people can experience you. Oh, do you have any idea? Well, how many jillion creative ideas you would come up with when people will start to experience God? One novel idea is let people cut you in the parking lot. We're working on a remote, it's not really remote, it's right down the street, parking lot. Hopefully we're going to have it very soon. And we have 100 spaces. That's going to leave 100 spaces room here for people, especially visitors. No, well, maybe it's, I'm going to park there. Maybe that's what I'm going to do. We have people out on the street. I'm sure you saw them in the vest, making sure people don't park on the street. What can we do? What can you do with what God has given you to give God honor and glory? So before you spend it on yourself, before you start thinking about yourself, knowing God's already thinking about you, by the way, don't forget that. Don't think, if I don't take care of myself, no one will. Don't think that. That's not true. Because God's the one who keeps you alive. I mean, I maybe you didn't know that. That the reason your heart beats is because God has it beating. The reason you breathe, the reason your eye blinks is because God has programmed that into your brain to keep, in your brainstem, keeps you alive. And the minute God says your time is up, guess what? Your time is up. God's got to take care. Let's look at the next one. Kingdom treasure. Kingdom of God treasure. Kingdom treasure is eternal riches and heavenly peace. Kingdom treasure is eternal riches and heavenly peace. Then it says, do the best with what God has given you today. What God has given you today. Verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If you say to God, God, and by the way, if all your life you've been living for yourself, or living for more than yourself than you're going to tomorrow, God's been blessing you anyway. How much more will he take care of you if you say, God, I commit everything to whatever you want. God will take care of you beyond what you could ever have done for yourself. And by the way, this is one of those things where you could test God. This is one of those challenges by God. God says, listen, trust me and watch me take care of you better than you can. And when I say challenge God, you got a pen and you got a paper, and you say, God, I am going to commit the next 7 days to doing what you want me to do with everything I have. Doesn't mean you're going to go home and empty your bank account. I'm not saying that. But when you go out and you go to the mall, before you go to the mall, say, God, do you want me to go to the mall today? And ladies, I promise you, he will say no. Right, fellas? Fellas. So fellas in the house, amen, fellas. Come on, fellas, help me out. What he wants you to do is stay home and cook for your husband. Oh, my God. I'm only kidding. But if you go to the mall, say, first, God, do you want me to go to the mall? And if he goes, okay. When you go to the mall, ask him what he wants you to buy. God, do you want me to buy this for me? No, you got enough clothes. But you know what? There's a lady living underneath the bridge with her two kids. Why don't you go buy something for her and take it to her? Don't just give it to the church. Go take it to yourself. Why can't you do that? That $20 changed your life. That cup of coffee changed your life. If you just did that for 1 week, God, what do you want me to do with my car, my house, my time, my clothes, my money? What do you want me to do? I got this jewelry. I never wear it. What do you want me to do with it? Now, it's one thing to just give it away. It's another thing to minister to somebody with it. They get it in the end, but you're not just throwing it to the wind, which is nothing wrong with that either if you want to just give it to an organization. But how much better would it be to take it and go to a shelter and look for a family, a mom who's 30-something years old, 40-something years old, homeless with her little kids living on the street, and for you to sit down with that person and buy something and eat with that person and talk to that person and pray with that person. Now that $20 is a whole life that you've changed, including your own. That's what your money's about. Look what it says next. And I'll end with this. It says, look in verse 34. It says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, I learned a very novel and powerful thing years ago that I'm not have not perfected, but I'm doing pretty good. Someone once said, don't make a big deal about something, there won't be no big deal. You ever hear someone say, you don't start nothing, there won't be nothing? Anybody ever hear that saying? You don't start nothing, there won't be nothing. Just be about your business. It's so true. If you say, you know what, I'm not going to create a big fuss about something I don't know about, so I'm not going to worry about it. Someone don't like me, I ain't worry about it. I'll pray for them. When I see them, I'll try to love them the best I can. I'm not going to worry about it. I don't have enough money for how I'm going to retire in 20 years from now. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to go, what does God want me to do now? Smile and love him and do what he says. If I can do that now, I'll do it tomorrow and the next day. And you know what? I won't have time to worry, because it's unbiblical to worry. Because when you worry, well, you know what you're saying? When you worry, you're saying, God, I don't trust you. And I think I got to do it. And I'm concerned because I don't think I can. That's not biblical. God says, I'll take care of it. And when you leave here today, go look at the birds. Just stand there. Just look at the birds. Go sit in the park. And let the birds, if you sit still enough, animals will come around you, by the way. They will. They'll come closer and closer and closer. Oh, I grew up in New York. We had, they have them out here, but we had different squirrels. The squirrels here, they go on the ground. We had the squirrels live in the tree. And you would sit there, and they would just, the longer you sat, the closer they will come. So you just try to freeze and try to blend in. If you ever sit in the park and you just look at animals, they're just getting the nuts, chirping around, flying around, tweet, 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 tweet. And you just look at them and say, you know what? God says, go look at them. And I want you to think, I'm taking care of all of that. I'm coordinating all those things. And it's all beautiful, isn't it? That's you. The only difference between me and you is God has given you and I the freedom to say no to him. That's where we get in trouble. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for being good to us. We thank you so much for blessing us so much. And dear Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes that we may see the things you've given us your way. That we may understand our money is your money. Our clothes are your clothes. Our possessions are your possessions. And I pray you would give us kingdom perspective that we may use them in a way that glorifies you and builds your kingdom. Lord, I pray as people leave here today, especially those who have not signed up for ministry, that they would sign up. And we would continue to build this army. Thank you for the 2,000 people that signed up. Thank you for the van that was donated to bring people to church who can't get to church. Thank you so much for all the things that I can't even mention them. The over 300 people that signed up to mentor a foster kid's child. Thank you, God. And Lord, I pray that we would be an army that does the gospel, not just talks about it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me say one thing before you go. As you leave, if you want to sign up, the goals game. We have 400 foster care children who can go to the game. If you buy a ticket, for every ticket you buy, we get to give it to one of those. We bet one free. So I want to challenge you to go buy a ticket and we'll get them to the game. So see you later. Go sign up for ministry and see you next week.
Would you stand and sing with us this last song? And on your way out, if you'd like to receive some prayer through the double doors to your left, there's a room and there's people there that would love to pray with you. Your love, oh Lord.